It's Tuesday, March the 10th, and you're tuned in to the TNW podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Day early, but don't worry, we're still coming at you with the same great show. Right?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see
what happens. What's going on this week?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on this week. Right now. I got some snacks, baby.
Oh,
let's start off with some snacks.
Oh, is it snack time?
It's snack time.
Oh, okay.
So first off, my friend gave me some pretz.
Okay.
Pretzel sticks.
Okay.
From Thailand.
Thailand.
If you know that Street Fighter reference, good for you. They are larb flavored.
Excuse me?
Larb.
Can you spell that?
L-A-R-B.
Oh.
Larb.
Which is?
Larb is a type of Lao meat salad that is regarded as the unofficial national dish of Laos.
Whoa.
So we got the Glico packaging. We got that.
The Glico packaging. Yes.
Fancy shit. So here.
Okay.
Take one of these. Well, these are dusty as fuck. Take a dusty ass pretz stick.
I missed. Okay.
T, do you want a larb stick?
It's smelling like a...
Get that smell in there.
It's smelling like pho. I'm going to say
Monsieur. It smells like one of those like XO cubes that you put in. Like
okay, chicken. Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Here we go. No, that's just Mr. Noodles.
That's just Mr. Noodle flavoring, yeah.
Okay.
Not
going
to lie.
I've had lard before.
Okay.
Mr. Noodles.
Okay.
And the next one I got...
Ooh! Got a bit of a aftertaste to it.
Oh, it does. It's got like a spice.
Whoa.
Huh. That's good. Next one up.
You can have it all.
Yeah, no. I kind of like it too, but here. Take as many as you want.
I'm out.
You're out, man.
It's like a spicier hickory stick.
In the pretz versus Pocky debate, I've always picked Pocky.
Well, Pocky's dessert. Pretz is a meal.
Wow.
No, I've always also picked Pocky. If I'm going to have a pretzel, I want the swirl. I want a pretzel-ass pretzel.
If I'm going to have a pretzel, I want it to be soft.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
Okay, I don't know if I need that sodium intake, but
the next one up here is a Canadian classic.
Oh fuck. Canadian what are we in for?
It's Lay's. Lay's potato chips.
Lay's potatoes.
But from China.
Oh, so this is?
So this is Italian red meat flavored
Lay's. Wait, no. Wait, what?
This is Canadian chips coming from China with a fake Italian flavor.
Wow. The levels of like...
Sounds pretty authentic.
What?
I also got to take a picture of this for the gram.
Like, what? Who?
You know, Italian red meat favored Lay's.
I just... No.
So there is chance. I don't have to open this if you don't want me to.
No, I mean, we got to.
Do you want to get the Corona?
Oh, is that where you're going with this?
Yeah.
Got to risk it for the biscuit.
All right. Bam. We're all infected. Ooh, smell that. Take a whiff.
Smells like Lay's.
It smells like Lay's.
Does it?
All right, chip time. I'm gonna grab one. This one looks red.
All right.
No, not that one. I want this one. There we go. That one looks red.
Okay. Bet you can't have just one. Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Only have one.
Okay.
All right, going for the chip.
Here we go.
I don't know what that's supposed to taste like.
Yeah, like a part of me, I get what they're going for.
I don't know what that was. That definitely wasn't, as someone who is half Italian, that definitely was not Italian red meat flavor. There was like some sweetness in there.
You know what that was?
What?
That was Filipino spaghetti.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. That was Asian spaghetti.
Yes.
That was like, I put ketchup in the sauce.
Yes, it's sweet.
That's some bullshit. Ew.
No, it's Italian, though.
Ew.
It's Italiano.
Ew. That's gross. I gotta have another one. Hold on.
I gotta confirm.
I gotta confirm this.
Gotta confirm the travesty. So, what are we thinking? What are we thinking?
That's Asian pasta sauce.
Yeah, sweet.
That's, oh man. This could have been so much better.
It could have been, but it wasn't.
Oh. So I think we're going on the Pretz as the winner of this one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The Mr. Noodle Sticks?
Mr. Noodle Sticks, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Larb. Thanks, Louse.
Okay.
There you go.
Great.
Snack time.
Okay. From snack time to Khan's Corner.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe he got one in, because I forgot to mention on the Facebook that we were recording early.
Yeah. He's on it.
All right.
So Rafid writes in. Dear TNAB crew.
Hello.
Recently, I've been trying out new ways to help deal with anxiety. Trying to learn about processing and meditation.
Would you stop being a little bitch? No, I'm just trying.
As well as picking up older hobbies that are a bit more relaxed, like reading. As I explored with meditation and creating chill atmospheres, I found that when I was reading or relaxing, it was hard to ignore the sounds around me. Mm-hmm. I tried using the lo-fi hip-hop beats channel, but even the music was still distracting. Eventually, I just tried rain sounds and found it extremely helpful. I'm going to be trying the sounds of crashing waves next, as when I went for a hike on the beach, I found the sound pretty relaxing. Mm-hmm. What are some hobbies or techniques you guys tried experimenting with, or any time where you initially had issues doing some activity but found success after changing one aspect of it, like changing a conventional setup to better fit your needs/situation? Have a good one. Sincerely, Rafid Khan.
Changing my situation. Well,
I think there's two parts to this question.
Yeah.
One is anxiety. How do you deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
And two is what you just said, changing the situation.
Yeah. So I guess let's start off with anxiety. I feel like I definitely used to feel a lot, but I think in past weeks, Paul had asked a question. Was it Paul?
Yeah. About the backlog.
Not the backlog, but about like, how I used to be so outgoing.
Oh, that one. Yes, right? Yes.
And I think a lot of the anxiety solutions came from the outgoing solutions, where it's exposure, right? And so what did I say? Like, you can only do something for the first time once, and then after that it gets a lot easier and easier. And obviously there are people with anxiety conditions where, like, no matter how much they try, it'll just... something will be there holding them back. And I'm not trying to say that that's not a real thing.
Yes.
But for me, like, it's exposure. And in kind of after repeated exposure to different types of things, you realize that the anxiety of a new thing is less. Where it's like, oh, I got really used to public speaking in front of a classroom. So for presentations or whatever. So there's like no anxiety there. But... recently, I went into my school's Japanese class to help promote the Japanese center near my house, or in our city. And doing that as like an uninvited guest, or like an invited guest, but like not part of the class. And it's not like I'm scheduled to be there or something set, is like different. And you're trying to just say this information out. It's like a different experience. But because I've had the related experience, the anxiety was, again, almost non-existent, even though it is technically a completely new thing.
Yes.
Right. And I think once you realize that, like, you're kind of stronger than you think you are, anxiety kind of goes down. At least in my mind.
I see.
What about you?
I
never have anxiety. Anxiety's for bitches. Like.
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, I don't have an answer to this because I don't really like.
Well, like, okay, then if you don't have an answer for anxiety, like, What goes through your mind when you're doing something that others perceive as high stress or brand new? Or because like you,
what do you mean?
Like, okay, let's talk about like talking to upper management at work.
Yep.
Right. Like most people, I would think.
Yep.
Making an assumption here is that they would see like the boss, right, and be like, oh God, like, what do I do? What do I say? If I make a good impression, all this shit, blah, 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 blah. Like, but if that doesn't happen to you, like, what is going through your mind at that moment where other people feel stressed that maybe they're not thinking about, or if you're thinking anything at all?
When I, okay, in your example, when I have to talk to upper management, why would I be thinking about what other people would be doing?
No, it, okay, maybe I worded that wrong. It's not you're thinking about what other people would be doing. It's okay. That their thoughts would be different from yours.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Right? So their thoughts would be, I have to make a good impression. I have to be on the ball for all this stuff. I can't make no mistakes. And that'll amp up their anxiety. Where if you don't have the anxiety, you're obviously thinking something else, if anything.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, like, it's not, okay. So I understand, like, the, like, in your example, we'll say, I understand that, like, there's certain, let's say, social norms that I have to commit to maintain an image.
Yes.
And that's just like, in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, that's, those are bullet points and I just got to hit them.
Mm.
And that's kind of it.
Oh, really?
It's like, just... it's just like, that's the checklist and I got to tick the boxes.
Hmm.
And that's, okay. That's more like, it's very robotic and it's a very logical way to approach a situation.
Yeah.
But that's just,
and that's like how your mind works. That's,
yeah. Like I'm a very logical thinker, right? It's like
what your job does. Is,
yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, like I work with numbers, right? So like my job is pretty emotionless.
It's logic, yeah.
Yeah. But numbers like
don't lie, baby.
Yeah, but like, well, let's extend it past the job thing so you get a greater understanding. No, that's how I look at lots of things. Like it's just like just got to do it. Or like if there's a situation where like traditionally, you know, you're supposed to be expected to be like either stressed out or anxious about it, for me my mindset's always been like let's do it. Like, I just, like, there's no way around that. Yeah. I just got to go and do it.
Like, eventually, I think I agree with you with where the mindset for me has become is, like, if I really want to do it, I have to get over it. There's no other option, right? Yeah. If I want to do this thing, whatever it may be,
you
have to do it. There's no...
Just got to go.
And no amount of relying on, like... excuses is a harsh word for this, but like there's a limit to what you can blame on anxiety.
Sure.
Right. I was actually talking about this with some other friends where I think one of the negatives of mental health being so open is that people are now more readily more ready to blame the condition rather than themselves.
Mm.
Right. It's like, oh, this happened because of the mental health, like they'll separate it from themselves. Right. Yeah. And it's like, well, no, it's still you.
Yeah.
You still have to take responsibility for that. Just because you go see someone or you have this anxiety doesn't like null you from all this shit you did. Right. You have to still improve yourself. So there's like a limit to how much you can blame on anxiety. And eventually you kind of got to put that on yourself.
For sure. For sure. No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess going back to the original question, like, he's found, like, different methods to cope with certain situations or to help him, like, handle that kind of stuff. And, I don't know if I've ever changed a situation to suit my needs specifically. I know when, like, a large task or something is thrust upon me, I just do the very basic things of like break it down, right? Mm-hmm. Like what's the next most important thing that I need to do?
Yeah.
Like if I have a big project ahead of me, you know, I stop looking at it as a whole. I'm just like, well, what's immediately the next task I need to complete?
Are you like a small things first, big things later, or?
I don't know if it's like big things later. It's more like I just break down the whole thing into small pieces.
Oh, and then you find like an order that suits you.
Yeah. Okay. Or like, or not even if I find an order, it's just like, what is the order? Like, what is the logical order? Like if I have a project that's comprised of like all these moving parts, what do I need to tackle first? And what does that involve? Like,
that's fair.
It's like, what is the bare minimum I need to do to complete step one?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go with that.
And then it'll all cascade from there.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, you complete step one. What was step two?
It was part of step one. And then,
yeah, it just keeps going.
That's fair. I know for me, he brought up using like ocean sounds and whatever, where changing the way you're trying to do the same thing can help. Like that happened for me in studying. Like when I was in school, I think the first time I studied for a test was college.
Yeah.
Right. And so I had no study experience, but as I learned about myself and like, as I went through like post-secondary education, it's like, I need the atmosphere to be conducive to what I'm trying to do. So I can study at home. It's not anywhere close to as effective as if I go to the library.
Oh, for sure.
Because then the attitude in the library is like, this is a place of like study. You're going to be quiet. You're going to do whatever. You're going to have your own thing.
Sure.
Whereas if I'm at home, it's like, okay, I got like some stuff done. But then on the other hand, you're like, oh shit, I could also be playing all these games, right? Like you have so many distractions around you. And it's like, I kind of need the environment to match the thing I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also mentioned things about like he's been practicing meditation or whatnot.
That's never worked for me.
I don't know if I've ever like practiced, like sat down and thoroughly practiced meditation, but ever since I was a kid, I've been, I guess I, well, maybe I have then. I guess like I've always been able to really focus and not like meditate, sit there and zone anything out. I mean, like just if I decide to focus on something, I can block out everything.
Okay.
Right. Like people.
You just zone in.
And yeah. Then, okay. It happens all. And unfortunately now it happens all the time. Like in just regular situations.
Oh.
like sometimes I'll be having lunch with like my friends and stuff. And
you'll be reading that new hot toy line.
Not even like something like, yeah. Or like something will come across my mind, like a thought in my mind.
Okay.
And I'll focus on it super hard. And then they're like, are you okay? Are you dead there? It's been like 15 minutes. And like, what? Oh, I was in the zone.
Don't let me get into my zone. As Kanye West said.
Yeah. Some shit like that. So yeah, but that's just me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm no help to you here.
I'm oozing confidence, baby. I got nothing to hide.
I don't know if it's confidence. I think it's more like I am so, I care so little about my surroundings and other people.
Okay.
That I refuse to be, let them affect me.
That could also be like
a detriment.
Not a detriment, but it could also be a positive of like, if someone cares too much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing of like, live your life. Don't care what other people think. Yeah. But like that has some merit to it, even though it's like the most generic advice you could give.
That's true. That's right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I got a follow up though.
Okay.
Because Paul wrote in last week talking about that, like things that you love that are bad.
Oh shit.
Right. And I came back with a list.
Okay.
All right. I got a couple things, some recommendations that I wanna list off.
Okay.
So we'll start with movies. Obviously, Tokyo Drift.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's, we talked about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Other one, White Chicks.
Okay.
Damon Wayans, all that shit. The Wayans brothers. That movie's not good.
No, it's not.
But it's good.
You said that the way that what's her face? Is it Haley? No, it's some girl on the sneaker show or this, like, oh, fuck.
What, the Complex Shop With Me show or
whatever? Yeah.
Halsey?
Not Halsey.
Young Billie Eilish?
Bella Hadid.
Bella Hadid, who's that?
And she was like, but if homie's rocking with these, he's gonna get it.
He's gonna get it. Okay, okay. So yeah, White Chicks, obviously. The Room is a classic one. It's a cult classic.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
If you haven't seen that, highly recommended. There's so many little things to nitpick, from every picture frame in the house being filled with pictures of spoons.
Yep.
To just really useless scenes that are poorly acted. It's fantastic. Last Action Hero. With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, fine.
The action movie about action movie tropes.
Yep.
That one's a little meta, but it's pretty good.
Okay.
And then the last movie is called House. It's a Japanese movie. It's a horror movie. A bunch of girls go to their grandmother's like cabin, I guess, or cottage, like way out in the country. And it turns out that the house is haunted. and the house is slowly killing all of the women.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it goes from a girl named Kung Fu karate kicking a ghost lamp to a girl having her head cut off, brought down a well, and then it summons later. Like, all this really cheesy horror stuff. It's not scary at all.
Yeah.
But the way a piano eating some girl's hands, like, the...
A piano? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Remember the piano in Mario? Yeah. It's like, rah, rah, rah. It's basically that. it's just a lot of, like, funny... Because, like, the... What is it? The special effects are so bad because it's so old that it makes it more into, like, a horror comedy than anything.
Yes.
But it's pretty good. And then for games. I recommended Binary Domain for the PS3
Binary Domain.
Big Bo.
That was a good game.
It was good.
Like, you were the dude, right? And he was your buddy.
And Big Bo was your big black sidekick.
And there was a girl, right?
Yeah, and you had a bunch of robots.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That's fun. It's not good, but it's good.
Okay.
Right? The other one is the Galgun series.
Okay, yes.
Galgun 1 and... Or Galgun 1 and Double Piece. 1, I think you can only get in...
Double Piece?
Double Piece.
Yeah.
Galgun 1 is on the PS3, and it's only in Japanese.
Okay.
So you have to import it. And then Galgun Double Piece came out in English, so you can download that. I think it's on Steam as well as PlayStation 4 and stuff.
Okay.
Galgun 2 is not so good. It's made for VR.
Okay.
So if you want to take your lewdness to another level.
Okay.
Yeah. The next one is Work Time Fun. For the PSP.
Okay.
That was the one game where you cap pens and do all the menial tasks to unlock better mini games that are more menial tasks to... It's fucking weird, but, like, I couldn't stop playing it for some reason.
Okay.
And then the last one is the Dragon Guard series.
Oh, yeah. Those are not good, but I can see why you would...
Dragon Guard is... think of the Nier games before Nier. Was cool, right?
Yep.
Is it the same director?
I don't know if it's the same director.
Is it Yoko Taro? I can't remember.
For Dragon Guard? No, it can't be.
Let's
can't
look it
be
up.
Yoko Taro. Yoko Taro Kitase. No.
Oh. Well, this YouTube video says that he's the creator of the Dragon Guard series.
Oh.
Starting his career, blah, blah, blah. He became known for his work on the series Dragon Guard and the two spinoffs, Nier and its sequel.
Wow.
Wow, he did do that. Okay. Oh, he also worked on Time Crisis 2. What a baller.
Okay.
Yeah, Dragon Guard, Dragon Guard 2, Nier, Dragon Guard 3.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is Yoko Taro's early games.
Okay.
And it's a Dynasty Warriors mixed with, like, kind of like JRPG elements where you're leveling up weapons and doing stuff like that. You could ride a dragon.
Yeah.
But the thing that's wild about these games is the story, because it's definitely not about the gameplay. The gameplay is very generic Dynasty Warriors Musou game.
Yes.
The gameplay on the other, or sorry, the story on the other hand is fucking crazy, where I think one of the ending, or like there's multiple endings in the first game, where one of them has you fighting giant space babies that shoot lasers from their eyes.
Yeah.
One of them sends you forward in time to where jets are a thing and they kill your dragon.
Mm.
In Dragon Guard 3, to get the secret ending, you have to play a rhythm game, and this is the only section of the game where it's a rhythm game, and one of the few notes that you have to hit at the end you cannot see. In the last one, you cannot hear.
Oh.
So you just have to know.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
It's fucked up.
That's how you make a video game.
I guess so. Dragon Guard does such wild shit with the story, especially in 2 and 3, that you just kind of can't pass it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He worked as an illustrator on Taiko no Tatsujin.
Oh, wow.
Weird.
Okay.
So Dragon Guard? No, he's married to the illustrator who worked on Taiko no Tatsujin.
Ah.
Okay, my bad.
So Dragon Guard was your last bad game pick.
Yeah, that was the one I was just kind of thinking of, like, a series I wanted to...
Okay.
Yeah. You got some?
No. You got some on the way? I thought I was expecting Mr. Fly.
Mr. Fly?
I don't know.
No one can stop Mr. Domino?
I don't know. The mosquito one.
Oh, Mr. Mosquito.
Mr. Mosquito. Why did I say Mr. Fly?
I don't know. Mr. Mosquito? That, listen. Good games.
Oh, all right. Oh, shit.
The Japanese one, when you play Mr. Mosquito 2, which is Ka 2 in Japan, you can go to America, and when you pick the American mosquito, he's buff, wears sunglasses, and has an American flag shirt.
Oh, shit. Hot damn.
It's fucking awesome.
Hot
damn. For going down the fresh games route. We could talk about, like, Mad Maestro.
Ooh, no name. No, no.
No, I don't want to do that.
No, I'm not there with you, no.
Well, his wife's name, after marrying him, is now Yukiko Yoko.
Whoa.
It's a lot of Y's, man.
Cool.
So, yeah, those are just some little tidbits I recommend for bad things that are good. Awesome. Oh, that's the last one. Anytime you can find a Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune game,
buy it
and play it on the hardest difficulty.
Oh, you never win.
Well, we play with your friends, so someone has to win.
Oh,
no one guesses the puzzles because it's so ridiculous. That's one that's difficulty specific. Like, play Jeopardy or play Wheel of Fortune, especially if you got the older ones. Like, you play NES Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like, all of the questions are from the 80s.
Oh, shit.
It's rough.
How do you answer those?
You gotta know for shit from the 80s.
Like, no, but it's like multiple choices your answer?
You have to type it in.
The fuck?
Yeah.
That's gross. That's gross.
It's terrible. So yeah, the Jeopardy games or Wheel of Fortune, play on the hardest difficulty only.
Good to know.
Play with your friends, it's fun.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's move to our picks of the week.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I got one. I got two.
Oh my god.
Both are game related.
Okay.
First of all, there is a new TV show coming to HBO.
Ooh, we matched on this one.
Did he?
We did.
What do you want to call it?
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us is coming to HBO. No. And it is written by The Last of Us director Neil Druckmann.
Yeah, but it's also being co-written with the guy who did Chernobyl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Craig Mazin.
Okay. I didn't really look much else into it, just that, hey, there's a show coming, and he confirmed that Ellie will be gay.
That's gay.
That's hella gay. That's gay confirmed.
All right. Gay confirmed.
That's what I got. So look forward to that. I don't know if they have a release date, timeline, or anything.
No, I think it's just, here's the announcement. But I don't know. I kind of put this into the same camp as the Uncharted movie's a thing. Is it?
I think this is more realistic.
Okay.
I think this can happen.
Because it's HBO? That you trust HBO more?
Maybe. I guess there's a lot less riding on a TV show than there is, like, a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a movie, like, I guess with the, like, just the gigantic budget that's associated with movies.
True.
And, like, timelines of getting superstar actors in there. Like, mm-hmm. There's just a lot of moving pieces. Whereas a TV show, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces. But I feel like they have a product that's a bit more, let's say, grounded
mm-hmm.
that they can put together. I don't know. Whatever. My second pick is, there's a new Call of Duty.
Hmm?
There's a new Call of Duty.
Really?
Yeah, there is.
What's it called?
Warzone.
Is it on your phone?
Battle Royale.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
It's free.
That makes sense.
It's available today.
That makes sense.
On PlayStation 4. You do not need a PS Plus subscription.
I don't think I want to play it.
I need it.
I'll let you know what? You play it, report back.
I will.
And I'll see how it goes.
I'll tell you all next week about Call of Duty Warzone.
Because, like, I started playing Apex a lot when that came out.
Yeah, and then what happened?
And then hackers happened.
Yeah, baby. But you were playing on the PC.
True facts. I was playing on the PC.
Yeah. I mean, it was better on the PC, but still.
But hackers, though.
Exactly.
Ruined the experience.
That's what I'm saying.
So
I don't know what to tell you. But hackers, though.
They suck.
Yeah. Those are my picks.
Okay. One of mine is Mortal Kombat 11. I think it's the final DLC for this game.
You think it's the final countdown?
I'm not sure. I feel like I read somewhere that it is. But Spawn.
Yes.
Is in the video game.
He certainly is.
The edgiest of edgelords is finally in Mortal Kombat. And boy howdy, does he have a lot of guns.
He does.
And I'm also reminded that even the things that aren't fatalities in this game are pretty brutal. Right? Like, what was it? His, like, X-ray move or his... I forget what that move's called. Fatal Blow? Was ridiculous. His whole cape is guns.
Yep.
Yeah, like, he just pulls out his
cape. He does, like, the Batman cowl or, like, cape where he just opens the cape.
But then it's all the guns.
Yes.
And then he skins Scorpion alive.
Yeah.
Melts his bones. Like, yeah, it's some edgy shit. It's a cool trailer, though. I think, though, this is maybe too late in the game's life cycle for me to see any sort of tournament play with Spawn, see if he's busted.
Yep.
But we'll see. After that, remember, was it last week or the week before? I was talking about the Nintendo PlayStation. You remember this?
Yeah, it sold for...
It sold!
Oh, it was going for auction.
Yeah, it was going for auction. So it has sold for the low, low price of $300,000 American dollars with a $60,000 buyer's premium.
Excuse me?
So it's $360,000 altogether.
What?
Yeah. Also, guess who bought it?
Please tell me it's you.
It's not. I wish it was me. Hot damn.
Okay, who?
She'll never guess it because I wasn't gonna. It's
thanks, man.
Greg McLemore. Do you know who this is?
Say McLemore?
No, McLemore. M-C.
Oh.
L-E-M-O-R-E.
Okay. McLemore. Okay.
Do you know who he is? Do you know his name? He's famous in the tech bubble. No. He's the founder of Pets.com.
Pets.com?
Pets.com founder. Greg McLemore bought this.
When you say pets.com, you mean like pets?
I mean PETS.com.
We're not talking like Neopets.
No, I'm talking about pets.com.
Okay, wow. Wow. All right. Okay.
Thank you. Apparently, he had reached out to the seller earlier, or a few years ago, and tried to
buy it
for $100,000. And now that he's bought it for $300,000 plus $60,000 in a buyer's premium, he's just like, that's inexpensive. It's fine.
Yeah.
I can do it. But for a while, there was some backlash in the games preservation community.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, now that I got this thing, and I've been collecting rare video games for a long time now, I'm going to open up my own museum.
Ooh.
And like do like my own gallery or whatever. And then, like, a whole bunch of people on Twitter were just like, fuck this, what the fuck? Like, just,
why?
Like, there's already all these organizations. Like, why are you splintering out the knowledge so much?
Why not?
So now he's just like, in an interview with Forbes magazine, he said that he intends to put the Nintendo PlayStation on loan to the University of Southern California's Asia Pacific Museum for an exhibit in the spring and summer showcasing Asian influence on the video game industry.
Okay.
Which, I thought that was weird. Why would... Like, I feel like the video game industry was shaped by Asia.
Yeah.
Right? It shouldn't be the other way around, where it's like North America's influence on something that they perfected, but... I guess, like, the first video game was it, like, Space Wars or some shit? Made in America. I don't know. Whatever. That's video game history. Who cares? But yeah, it's crazy. He bought it.
It's quite crazy.
Pets.com.
Yeah.
And then the last one, sorry, there's two more. One is Half-Life Alyx had like 3 gameplay videos.
Yep.
This looks less cool than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I was watching this and I'm like, oh, they're still warping for movement. Cool. Like, there's a lot of interaction with the world. It looks very polished, but it doesn't look like it's doing anything crazier than...
I'll tell you what. It looks like the best... use of VR.
Oh, it seems like numero uno first person shooter in VR.
Yes. However,
is it enough to drop $1,000 on the Valve whatever that thing is called.
No, and I am afraid I'm going to be an old man by the time VR gets to the point where I want to jump in.
You will. It'll be like another 10 years. And then it'll be cool.
I'll have a kid by then.
Will you?
You're right. Will I?
Will I? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what the future holds.
Yeah, you're right.
And then the last one is kind of a fun one. Legendary Street Fighter player Daigo Umehara.
Oh, I just read this.
Everybody knows him.
Yes.
Right? Ryu player, yeah. Street Fighter extraordinaire, yeah. Evo Moment 37, yeah. Whatever. Bro, he won another tournament.
Did he now?
In Uno.
Ooh.
In Uno.
Come again?
He's the Uno champion.
The fuck?
He recently won Twitch Japan Online Invitational Tournament. The Twitch streamer battle Uno. And Daigo made it to the last round of 16 players and beat everyone else in Uno.
God damn.
He won 245,000 yen, which is probably around $2,500.
Yeah.
This guy knows no bounds.
You know, I like how he's got this second career, like second win.
The Uno career?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, my heyday was the Street Fighter, but now... I'm all about that Uno.
I'm really hoping that this brings back the era of Xbox 360 Uno.
Oh, yeah.
Where you get the webcam and everyone's talking. You played fucking reverse card? Fuck you. Like, everyone's talking shit in Uno.
Remember when, like, video game webcams were, like, a thing? Like,
yeah, I remember playing Burnout Paradise.
But those were just people's dicks and shit.
Yeah, and I would just get pictures of... I remember I took down, like, I knocked down this one player, like, multiple times in a row. And every time, it was a picture of him getting closer to revealing his ass. And I think on, like, the fourth or fifth time, it was like, oh, there's a butt. Like, there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I don't know.
You unplug it. That's what you do.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, wow. He's watch out, Uno players.
Yeah.
Daigo's coming for you. Mm. But that's those are my picks.
Hot. Wild.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
You want to know what happened in my week?
Yeah.
Me and producer TJ caught up on the Monster Hunter DLC.
You did this like last night.
We
didn't
did
you?
Last night.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how fucking good my gear still is.
Yeah.
So we fought the... Well, TJ hadn't fought Rajong yet.
Yeah.
So we fought Rajong, and then we fought Stygian Zenogre.
Yeah.
And then we fought the intro to Safi Jiva, which is the new...
The baby Jiva. Oh, the evolved Jiva.
The adult Jiva.
It's smaller than Zeno.
It's smaller, but it's more powerful.
Yeah.
And then also it's set up like Kul of Torath, where...
Oh, it's a siege.
It's a siege. So let's start. Well,
is it basically a Fatalis?
It's basically a behemoth.
Oh, wait, yeah. Hold on. A behemoth, as in like, yo, you gotta run a tank and a healer.
The behemoth in that, yo, you're gonna pull aggro if you DPS too high, and you have to like drag this thing to different arenas. Oh no, look, it has this area where it shoots out a giant death beam, and if you don't get behind this rock, you'll die.
Hmm.
Like, there's a lot of mechanics that are in this game, or this fight, that are in the Behemoth fight, but also some that are in the Xenojiva fight that kind of transfer over.
Whoa.
Just like stage hazards and stuff like that.
Sounds wild.
It's cool. And we teamed up with some people who had Safi Jiva weapons. They look fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yo, you're a Switch Axe guy, right?
Mm.
Yeah? Bro, let me tell you that everything revolves around... an eyeball on the handle.
Whoa.
So like when you're like changing weapons, it like brings up the eyeball and like does this weird switch thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool. All of his weapons are fucking rad.
I feel like I need to play this game.
It's listen, we'll catch you up. We are so far ahead. We will catch you up, buddy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Stygian Zenogre, pain in the ass, just like he always is. Some new additions are that his Draco flies kind of go out further, and he has different attacks where he has like a cascading lightning attack. One is after his, like, I think one of his flips, he does like a Kami cannon drill, but cool. Head first, cool. Or it's more cool. Like a Bison Psycho Crusher.
Cool.
He
cool.
Does that. He's just fucking annoying. And then Rajong's Rajong, man. He's just jumping all over the place, punching in the face. He's a giant angry monkey.
Well, That we knew.
That we knew. But man, that game's fun. That game's super cool. But the thing here is that me and TJ both came to the same conclusion, is that if you're really happy with the build you have, and the build you have is very good against endgame stuff, you kind of have no incentive to build more. And right now, it's like, I'd want to build some Safi Jeeva stuff, and I want to build some Gold Wrath stuff, but it's like so marginally better than what I already have that I could just play something else.
Okay.
Right? So I think if me and TJ start playing more, if you want to catch up, and then we start doing Safi Jeeva raids, then that would kind of get me into it again. But right now, it's just like, here are some builds that would be cool. Here's are like the maxed out builds.
Yeah, yeah.
But the new DLC didn't bring a level of difficulty that I thought it would.
Okay.
Right? I could still beat everything with my three sets.
Right.
So.
Right, right.
It's a little disappointing.
Okay.
The other one is I've been playing Undernight in Birth, Undernight in Birth, EXE, late square bracket, CL-R, close square bracket.
Oh, yes. Okay.
This is a new one. So I had pre-ordered this last year. And my friend, like, he bought it. He pre-ordered it with his, and then Nike paid him money. I just forgot about it because it's already been paid off.
Yeah.
And it came in the mail. That game's fun. That game's very fun. Hmm. And for as wild as that game seems when you watch tournaments, it's very easy. It's one of those things where I feel they've struck a great balance of easy to get into, hard to master, where you and your friends can have fun doing very easy combos. Like it's ABC, jump ABC, doing whatever, kind of like Marvel. They also have auto combos where you just mash on square, and then if you have meter, you'll go into a super. But there is many layers of depths that you can go into if you want to get farther into it. And it's, I don't know, they've struck this really cool medium between I just want to have fun fighting with my friends, and I want to get way deep into this and do some wild shit, abusing the gauge system or veiling off and doing all this weird stuff. It's cool. They've added a new character. I forget his name, but he's basically Jin from BlazBlue. Shoots ice, has a cane. It's weird. But yeah, all the characters play so uniquely. One character has a active reload, like Gears of War style.
Oh, yes, I've seen this.
Yeah, yes. She has like active reload mid-combo.
Yeah.
They still got the samurai lady who has to go into like the sheath stance, and then you press the different buttons to do your different combos.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of crazy the amount of variety in fighting styles they have. Like almost every character plays completely uniquely. Like there's almost no overlap to how a character plays. It's super, super fun. And I was playing it with my friends and I'm like, maybe I should get back into fighting games.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But the hard thing here was that I was playing on a controller because I don't have a PS4 arcade stick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just too weird. Like there's very few fighting games I can play on a controller. Like one of them is Dead or Alive. And I actually prefer playing Dead or Alive on a controller. But stuff like the 2D fighters, it's just like, man, I kind of wish.
Yeah, you need a stick for that.
I kind of wish I had an arcade stick. Well, whatever. That French guy won Evo on a PS1 controller, so.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He certainly did.
So that's been cool. And then the last thing I've been doing, which is probably spending most of my time this week, is Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
Oh, you bought that?
Yeah, it was I think it was $15.
This is the girl one, right?
This is with Chloe and...
Nadine,
yeah. Where do you go? I even forget where you are. I think you're in, like... You in India? Yeah, you're trying to... You're teaming up with Nadine because you're trying to find Ganesh's tusk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Chloe's dad's research brings you to this forest, like rainforest area in India? I guess.
Okay.
I forget where it is. I'm very sorry. And you fight off against the big bad in this game called Assad, and he's trying to gain the tusk to gain all this power. He's an evil dude, but obviously because you're not as evil, you want to do some stuff. And there's a lot of cool back and forth between Nadine and Chloe. The game starts off in a very linear way, and then kind of breaks open into an open world.
Okay.
So you remember in Uncharted 4 where they had the Humvee? Or the 4x4? And you could, like, winch to stuff and do all that?
Yeah.
So you have that in this game. Oh, it's okay. Like they had that tech, and they're like, we got to use this way more.
Okay.
And it turns into kind of an open world video game.
Okay.
And that's where the game falls apart.
Oh, no.
So I've gotten past that part, and the game has gone back into the linear set pieces that Naughty Dog is known for in these games, and the game's fantastic. But when you go into this open world area, it kind of feels like baby's first open world, where you know in open world games, things kind of really seamlessly flow into each other.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go through here, and then this area. Oh, there's a battle here. But everything feels natural, right? The layout of the open world in this game, it feels very segmented, where you can tell that this is the puzzle area.
Mm.
This is the arena area. Mm. You're going to fight here. You can tell it just from the way it's set up, right? And it's like they planned each section of the map in isolation and then put it together, rather than make one flowing map that works well together. It's really weird. It's something you only really notice when you play it. Mm. It's like, oh, this place has a lot of buildings that you can go inside and, like, chest high cover. There's going to be fights here. And lo and behold, there are fights there. This place kind of silos you off into a narrow corridor and then takes you inside a cave. Okay, this is the puzzle area. And lo and behold, it's the puzzle area.
Mm.
Other than that, though, like, shooting is still fantastic. I actually started playing this game on Crushing.
Mm.
So I've never played it before, but I've also never played an Uncharted game on Crushing before.
Oh, no?
No. And holy fuck, this is hard.
You go down in, like, one shot.
Especially when a giant armored Humvee with a machine gun attached to it is shooting at you.
Yeah.
I was stuck on one part for such a long time because it's like you have to kill these two enemies super fast and then get behind breakable cover that a Humvee shooting at you. And it's like sometimes you're in mid jump and it's like I went from full health to dead. I literally couldn't do anything.
Yep.
It's just unfair.
You jump too much.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting playing it on Crushing. I do enjoy it. It adds like a level of difficulty that I've never felt in Uncharted, and it makes all the firefights that much more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that open world segment, that sucked. it was not good. It's a good chunk of the game, too. I want to say it's like 5 hours or so.
Like it's not even as good as, like, you would say the Tomb Raider open world parts are?
No, I would say the Tomb Raider open world parts are more natural. Yeah, because they lead into other open world parts, right? It's more of a Metroidvania.
Oh, that's true. Right? Yeah. Like, you go back and forth,
You go back and forth, you're doing all this stuff, and like even the transitions between areas, it's like, okay, the grass is slowly dying and it turns into a desert.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I didn't even realize the change happening, and then I'm in the desert.
Yeah.
This one is just, here is the rainforest. Like, this is the rainforest tile set. But the way they've made it is so generic.
Mm.
Where it's just like, okay, we need three three combat arenas, we need three puzzles, we need three of this.
I see what you're saying.
Right? It's all very by the numbers. It's like open world by numbers, pretty much.
Cool.
And they even make jokes about their gameplay design in the game.
Yeah.
Where like you pull a lever and it opens up like a what's those things? An aqueduct. It opens up an aqueduct. And then Chloe just like flippantly goes, I bet there's two more of these.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nadine's like, what are you talking about? She's like, everything always comes in threes. You'll see.
Oh.
Right? And like they're poking fun at their own design mechanics, but also that doesn't make them less bad.
Yeah.
Right? So it's cool. I can see why this is just a DLC. I don't think they have really enough here to make a whole game out of it, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's good so far. I really like it. Cool. I still would probably rank it at the bottom of the Uncharted games I've played.
Mm.
But I haven't played one. So.
Oh.
I've played like 2, 3, and 4.
One is arguably the worst.
Yeah. I heard the Nathan Drake collection like fixes so many issues in that one.
I heard that too, but I never went back to try it.
Yeah. What was it, the things I saw? It was apparently in the original you had to equip a grenade and then throw it.
Yeah.
But in the new ones they changed it so it's more the Uncharted 3 style, Uncharted 4 style.
Where it's just one, it's attached to a button.
Yeah, it's attached to a button and all. And they changed all like the camera and cover stuff too to be more modernized.
Yeah.
They changed all the controls to be the same across all the games.
Yep.
So that seems to be the way to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's not that it's a bad game. It's just that they're taking chances and they're experimenting with like different styles. It's just not paying off that well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I gotta play the Legacy Collection?
Nathan Drake Collection.
Yeah. I gotta play that again. Or play it. Yeah, I haven't played those games in years.
I saw the game had like 22 subtitles or something. So I wanted to play it with one of my friends. Because it has like Korean subtitles.
Did you know like those are like one of the last few games where you could play with different character skins?
Oh, really?
Yeah. You play as Fat Drake the whole time.
Oh, you play as Donut Drake?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You could play as like, if you want, you could change. Like, and they're all like it's one of the last games I remember that has an in-menu cheats option.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, like you put on the different filters. Mm-hmm. You could turn on like, yeah, it was wild. I remember seeing that.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Oh, I want to bring up the one part. You remember that in Uncharted 2, the achievement Marco Polo?
Oh yeah, yeah, Marco.
They make a reference to that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, like I fell into an aqueduct and like, jumping in, and she's swimming around, and then Chloe laughs, and Nadine's like, "What?" She's like, "I know, I was just thinking about playing Marco Polo." Right. And you get it's like Marco Polo, that's the achievement in the new game. It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, it's still got that polish. It's still got all that stuff that you love from Uncharted. It's not doing anything new, and in certain cases, unfortunately, it does things worse.
Ah.
Boomer. Yeah. It's okay.
Okay.
It's fine. Like, the Uncharted 4 Humvee sequence was, like, my least favorite part of the game anyway.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Recommended.
Cool.
And, that's my week.
Cool. My week wasn't any more interesting. I did stuff.
I did stuff, you know.
I went go-karting. I haven't been in a while.
Ooh. Coming first?
Of course.
Of course I did. Who do you think you are? Who do you think I am?
I also, like, it was like a package deal. We found this wicked Groupon.
Yeah.
It's like $20, two people, glow-in-the-dark mini putt, and go-karting. Yeah. Like, it was wild.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
It was a great Groupon.
That's really good.
All credit to her. Not me, because I don't have that shit, but
I don't know how to Groupon.
Yeah. Anyways, you using real racing techniques on complete amateurs, when it works, man, you feel great. But they're also amateurs. So it's not so much that like, I feel great because I pulled it off. Not because like I felt like I did something great, but because I avoided danger.
You avoided danger?
Yes, because amateurs don't understand what I'm doing.
Oh, so when you're like going into the turn wide and then cutting in.
Oh man. Oh, but it's not even that. It's like they come in wide too, but I see their gap and I know I just got a break later, so I dive for the inside.
Oh.
But they just continue
They're
anyway.
They're just like, fuck it.
And I'm like, oh fuck.
What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Yeah. 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 Or if I'm at the apex and they're just like, I'm not gonna break. And they just run into you. I'm like, okay, that's a thing. But when you're on the limit and you're feeling like, you know, you're the fastest shit out there, I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I felt great. I felt awesome. But of course I did.
Yes. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So it was good.
I came in first. I'm the best.
Yes. Yes. But it was the first time in a while where I hopped out of a go-kart and my body was hurting.
What?
Just a lot of people hitting me.
Oh, it's bumper cars?
Yeah. And like, you know when you keep your hands on the wheel and someone hits you and you don't let go and the vibrations just
go goes through your body. Arm. Yeah,
yeah. For like Monday, I could feel it through my arms. And I was like, whoa.
Bunch of a-holes.
Yeah, and I was like,
geez. I'm gonna drive.
I was just like, am I old? Like, what's happening? But
I just imagine you driving is like those videos I see of professionals driving go-karts.
Yeah.
And they're just like cutting. Like, they're so close to the corner.
More or less. That's what it is. Yeah. It took me like two laps to figure out my lines. And then I was like, okay, how close can I get to the walls now?
How close can I cut these corners?
Yeah. And then, okay, so I kind of cheated.
You cheated?
My go-kart had an issue at the beginning. Like,
yeah.
Every time I hit the gas, basically there was not enough like choke on the whatever on the engine, and so it kept cutting out, dying whenever I lifted it off.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't keep my foot on, the engine would die.
Yeah.
So the guy came around and he did it, like, and I was just like, hey, just open it up all the way. Just give me it all.
Just give it all.
And baby. He's like, what? I'm like, and I was like, I have my racing license. It's cool. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah.
You just lied?
Yeah. I'm like, he's like, don't worry, I got this. He's like, okay. And he just opened up. He's like, just make sure that you park yours at the over here so I remember which one is.
Which one is which?
Yeah. Okay. My car was twice as fast as my race.
That sounds great.
It was wild because I would be behind people and then I'm like, all right, see a punk.
I don't want to be here.
Yeah. And then there'd be moments where like they're three wide and they block the whole lane. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I just got to force my way through here.
Push through them.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
It was good. Yeah. And then I caught up on My Hero because the anime, because I was super curious. I was like, where the fuck did the last week's movie take place in the timeline?
Yes.
Turns out it takes place after this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I've caught up on the anime, and we are in the gentle criminal section.
Welcome to the filler arc, baby.
What is this crap?
What are you talking about?
What is this shit? It's so... garbage.
Deku has to learn about a villain who's not actually a villain.
Clearly, La Brava.
He's just doing what he has to do to survive, bro, but it happens to be illegal.
Why can't, and like, why is Deku so pathetic against him?
Because it's finally not a true villain.
Like,
it's the area of gray he can't deal with.
I just saw him rip apart fucking Overhaul.
Because he's a villain.
And he can't handle the mustachio? Like,
he's a villain.
I don't get it. I do not get the power elasticity.
It's the power of being a gentleman.
Oh, my God. And his fucking assistant, La Brava.
La Brava.
La Brava.
There's some good comedy scenes in there, though, where, yeah, where they're, like, drinking the tea and then, yeah, she gets it in the face. Like... Yeah.
And like it's so bananas, like ridiculous. His whole character is like he gets antagonized by Deku because he figures out that he knows about this like high tea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you let your whole identity go because of that?
Yeah, of course.
Anyways, and then half the time Deku's learning about how to shoot guns. Or, yeah. Sorry, shoot air.
That's his. Hey, welcome to the filler arc.
And then I'm like, because I remember watching in the movie, I'm like, did he always be able to just fucking, like...
shoot air?
Like, shoot... like, but, like, he had the sub item.
Yeah.
In the movie. And I was like...
What is that?
Like, did he always have that? And then he just starts shooting air like it's nothing. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'll just... whatever.
It's anime. Whatever.
Like, I know he does the finger flex. I just didn't realize he could do it in succession now. But okay. Yeah.
He uses 20% and then he doesn't break his fingers off.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll... In the movie, I was like, yeah, sure. I'm sure they did that at some point.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching this anime like, oh, no, they didn't. It's happening now.
Here, you can do it.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's My Hero. It continues to be entertaining.
It's a fun show.
Yeah. You know, Bakugo on the drums. That was a...
Bakugo on the drums.
Like, that was a welcome surprise. That was good. Yeah, I did that. And that's it. I meant to start Altered Carbon, but I never got around to it.
How could you?
My weekend just got a little bit busier than I thought it'd be... Oh, because I went to the bike show.
Oh, okay.
I went to the Toronto bike show to buy a bike. You know that thing, like, when we go out and I convince you guys to buy shit?
Yeah. That happened on you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. What did you buy? You already have two bikes.
Well, so I didn't buy anything, but, like, I got... Like, I went from zero to, like, I'm going to buy this.
Oh, and then you had to, like, reel back.
Yeah, then I had to, like, pull it back. I'm like, wait, I'm like, what are you doing to me? Like, what happened here?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's that.
Did you get anything from the bike show?
No, because you know what it is? Like, I went Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Bike show opened up on Friday night. And apparently I was talking to all the dealers. I'm like, yeah, Friday night, no one bought anything. People came here to learn. And then Saturday morning at 10 at opening, everyone bought everything.
Oh.
So when I got there, the only things that were left were everything in the $4,000 range and up.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't really buy anything here.
So I guess you know what you got to do. Mm. You got to go Friday evening.
Yeah, next time, right?
Yeah, next time. You got to go Friday evening. That's the day to be there.
Yeah, so, like, it was... But, it, you know, it was fun seeing new bikes and stuff. And, like, there was a couple ones that, like, I did have my eye on. And I was like,
I was going to ask you to get me some handlebar tape if you saw it.
But there's a couple. Damn. You can just go to any bike store.
True. I want to complete that watermelon look.
Yeah, they got a lot of colors everywhere. You just go to find any store. Yeah. And I had some good foods. And that was more or less... Past week. Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I got, baby.
Cool.
I got nothing else.
That's a show, baby.
That is a show.
That's a show. Sorry for not saying that we're recording earlier on the Facebook. My bad.
It's all right. If you had a question, don't worry. We'll get to it next week.
Yeah.
If not, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.